the six seals that's going to be opened. If you got a paper, it's written very little on there. Mine's written big, but I don't want to give you different copies for you to have to keep up with. So if you're if you type, if you do any of them things, you got plenty of time. Because if you know how to type, it ain't going to take you no time to type this on a big piece of paper. Make it look good. Make it fit like you want it. And but you got the information. You got the bones. So all you got to do is get on your little computer and figure that thing out and put it ever how big you want to. But that's the only way I can figure out to get it to you. So you didn't have a lot of pieces of paper, okay? So tonight, what I'm going to look at is the six seals. The seventh seal's not going to be open yet. It's going to be in two more chapters down the list. I've got that written, but I want to look at the six seals that's going to be open. Before I get into this tonight, listen to me. If you are saved, you will not be here when these seals are opened. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. But you need to know about them so that it will encourage you to witness to people, Brother Tony, because you don't want to see them to go through this. You said, Brother BJ, when do you think this is going to take place? I have no clue. I'm not God. I don't have no clues. Clue, all I know is it's going to happen because the Bible says it. So you be ready. It could happen tonight. The rapture could happen tonight. Take the church out. Tribulation period started and it's on. You don't want to be left behind. You take the biggest and strongest man you know and he ain't nothing when we get here. When the Lamb takes the seals and he starts opening them, I want you to know things is fixing to get bad. It's not bad right now. This ain't bad. What you're living in and I'm going through, it's not hell. It's not. It's not bad right now. He said, preacher, you don't know how bad. I'm telling you. I'm fixing to show you. Well, it's not bad yet. But it's going to get bad. So I've got loved ones and you got loved ones I don't want to see go through this in their life if they make it to the tribulation period. If they don't die before and go to hell. I want them to get saved now so they can avoid this. So tonight, Revelation 6, I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to do it different than I've ever preached. I'm going to read one verse. We're going to pray, ask God to show us, and then we're just going to go take verse by verse throughout this chapter, and I want to show you these six seals and what's going to be unleashed on the earth, okay? Revelation asks you to stand. I always want to reverence God's Word. Revelation 6 and verse number 1 in the Bible says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight for Sister Chris Cantrell and her family. Lord, as tomorrow they lay her mom to rest, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would encourage them, comfort them, give them a peace that passeth all understanding. All over this room tonight, Father, the prayer requests that were mentioned, the ones that have been saved, the ones that are going to broken lives, Lord, I pray you would anoint them with the Holy Ghost that they'd speak, thus saith the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight for everyone around this room tonight. I thank you that Brother Cade is home tonight. Lord, I thank you that he is healthy and here tonight, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you do in all of our lives. And Lord, I thank you right now that you've given us an unction from heaven, Father God, to see people saved. Lord God, we're not dead here. Lord God, we're alive because we serve a living Savior. Father, I love you and I thank you. Be with all the prayer requests. Watch over them. Be with the little girl that had the baby, Lord God, that the word was spoken, that was unexpected, but Lord God, you knew it was going to happen. Lord God, you said that you formed that baby in the womb before it ever was born. And just because it's in Memphis, Lord, I'd pray you'd take its mama right to it today. And the boy or girl, whichever it may be, make that speedy recovery there. And we ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So tonight we're in the book of Revelation and we're going to look at the six seals that's going to be opened. This ain't the vials that's going to be opened. This is just the seals at this time. I don't know if you've ever done a study on Revelation. I don't know how much you've heard preached on the book of Revelation, but it has done my heart good digging into the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation tonight, we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse that's going to take place here. And we see which in that apocalypse is a word, and I want to bring it down where everybody gets a hold of it, it's which is the mass destruction, annihilation, or the end of the world. That's when the end of the world is fixing to take place, and there's going to be total annihilation. I'm telling you what, God is fixing to pour His wrath out on the world that we live in. I'm going to get on into this so we can get through it tonight, in which... In chapter 6, we see the opening of 6 seals. The 7th seal will be opened in chapter number 8. So tonight, let's look at the 6 seals being opened. Number 1 tonight, if you'll look with me, the seal that deceives in verse 1 and verse number 2 tonight. The Bible says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Tonight, that seal that deceives tonight, when we see that first seal that's open, it is the Antichrist himself, and he is the rider that is on this white horse. This the Antichrist himself, and he is on this white horse. He is counterfeit. You know what the Antichrist does? He does everything that Christ does, but he does it opposite. And I know that don't make sense, but he is counterfeit. He's not real. Have you ever seen a $100 bill that was fake? If you look at that $100 bill and you look at it real close, or a 20 or a 5, and all the way through that thing, you can look at it. The front looks real. The back looks real. Everything looks real. It's the same thickness, square. Everything about it, rectangle, whatever you want to call it. Everything about that $100 bill looks real. And you know what? There's a lot of people that takes that money, Sister Patsy, at the places that they work. They take it as it being real, and it's really fake, and it's counterfeit. And only by the naked eye you cannot tell that it is counterfeit. The only way that you know it's not real is it has to be examined. And tonight, can I say to you, when you examine what God is doing in the book of Revelation, it doesn't take long to see that the Antichrist, he is counterfeit. Folks will believe his lies. They will believe his lies when he comes on scene. We see that tonight by he will deceive them with this crown. This crown that he's talking about in verse number 2 tonight, it's not a crown that is earned. It is a crown that is given. It's just given to him. And tonight, can I say to you that in Daniel chapter number 11, in verse number 21, I had it wrote down for you there. We're talking about the Antichrist and how he will deceive us, and not us, but the ones that are left behind. "And in his state he shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." How does he do that? He's going to come on. He's going to say, "I know there can be peace. I know that I can give peace. I know I can give you what you need, and it'll help you." But also this Antichrist that is going to be riding upon this white horse, number one, he's going to deceive with his crown. Number two, he will deceive with his weapon, the Bible says. If you'll notice there, it says that he had a bow in his hand. He had a bow in his hand, but he had no arrows. Why is that? When the Antichrist comes, he don't want war. He don't want rumor of wars. He wants to go against the Bible. All he wants is peace. What is everybody screaming in the United States of America? Peace, peace, peace. Can I say to you, there's going to be no peace, because Jesus Christ is the author of peace. If he doesn't give peace, there is not a president that can give peace. There's not nothing that can give peace but Jesus Christ himself. And in your life, if you don't have peace and you don't have it just bubbling out of you, it's because you're either lost or you need to get back where you was with God at one time. Get back to that fountain that flows out of your belly where that peace is. He said he would deceive us with his crown, but he also deceives us with his weapon. He had a bow without arrows, which shows he's offering peace. The Antichrist will offer peace. That's what he wants. But only Jesus gives peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So we see that first seal that's going to be opened up is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to come. He's going to deceive people. Man, I'm telling you what, people are going to be deceived. You know how easy it is to deceive people right now? If you don't believe me, even preachers are deceiving them. "Send me $30,000 and you won't have cancer." That's a deception. Even TV evangelists are deceiving people. They're deceiving people. Let me give you this. Not only is it a seal that deceives, but it is the second seal. Look with me in verse 3 and verse 4. It's going to be the second seal that opens will be a seal that is destructive tonight. It's a seal that is going to be destructive in the life that they know it. Look what he says in verse number 3. After the Antichrist has come and he has conquered. And by the way, before we get there, he is coming in on a white horse. A white horse rode by a king or rode by a conqueror would not be coming at the beginning of a battle. If he rode it in at the beginning of a battle, they'd know who he was and he would be killed. And you know what? He's riding in here. He's riding in peace. That white horse would stick out. He's coming in peace and not in war. So tonight, not only is that we see it deceives, but the second seal that's going to be open is a seal that is destructive. That seal is going to be destructive when he opens it. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that set up thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. All right, we see the white horse, which is the Antichrist. He is going to deceive all mankind that is left. He is wanting to deceive them in a mighty way. But the second seal that's going to be open out of the six is going to be a seal that's going to be destructive. He is going to be on a red horse, and at that moment we're going to have they're going to have a world war on their hand. There's going to be bloodshed on the earth because it's going to take away the peace from the earth. Look what he says there. And he went out another horse, and it set there upon to take peace from the earth. He's going to take that peace away, and he is going to be given a great sword. He's going to have a great sword in his hands and will be able to destroy millions of people, such as, get this tonight, such as nuclear or chemical weapons. Nuclear or chemical weapons. What do we not want our foreign countries to do? We do not want them to release a nuclear weapon. We do not want them to have a chemical warfare. We do not want that. We do not. Why? Because it's going to eliminate people. It's going to annihilate people. And this is what's going to happen when that time comes. And the other thing is, they're going to kill one another. Matthew, if we go to Ezekiel 38, 39, them two chapters, if you look there, that's going to be the battle of Gog and Magog and what's going to take place there. And I've referenced this down, and I don't have time tonight to go through all that, but you can go and you can read it, and even Daniel 11 tonight. And I want to get you into these seals tonight that you understand that war is going to come. Antichrist says it's not going to be, but it is going to come. And it's going to come by that sword that's coming our way. But in Matthew 24, 6, the Bible says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." So we see tonight that it's going to be, number one, that first seal is going to be the seal that deceives. The second seal is going to be a seal that destructs. And the third seal is going to be a seal of famine. It's going to be a seal of famine. There's going to be no food. There's going to be no food. Listen to me. And we ain't got to the mark of the beast yet, but all of our healthcare workers, when they go to the healthcare and you want to go and you want to get some healthcare done, listen, and you go to the doctor and you say, "Well, I got Blue Cross Blue Shield." Say, "Yeah, but where's your mark at?" "Oh, I got Blue Cross Blue Shield. I'm paid up. I got my deductible paid up." "You don't know who I am." "Yeah, but where's your mark at?" "Well, I don't have it." "Well, you go back home. You're not going to get medical care. You're not going to get food. You're not going to get gas. You're not going to get loans. You're not going to get nothing without this mark." And that's coming on down the road, but it is going to be a famine. All this is lining up. Well, how am I going to get out of it, preacher? You take the mark of the beast. He's lining all this up. How am I going to get out of it, preacher? How am I going to get what I need? The only way you're going to get what you need is bow under the mighty hand of Satan. And listen to me, at this time when he's roaming the earth, God's letting it go on. He's letting it take place. He's opening these seals and pouring his wrath out on the people that's not believed. He said, "I'm coming again, and if you don't believe, this is what's going to happen." So he said there's going to be a great famine that takes place. Let me show you this in the text as we're looking here. And man, let's just do 5 and 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'Measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. To the millionaire, billionaire, wealthy man, when the tribulation happens, your money ain't worth nothing. What's good money when there ain't no food? What good is money when there ain't no food? What good is having all this when you can't buy it? Look what he says here. The seal of famine, the black horse, he's going to have the balances in his hand. It will affect the economy. When this seal is open, it's going to affect the economy. Going to be a wheat for a penny? I put a question mark there. Yes. And here's what that means. Usually folks could buy 8 to 12 measures of wheat for a penny. They could buy 8 to 12 measures of wheat for a penny. In the tribulation, get this, in the tribulation, a man will have to work all day. He'll have to labor all day long just to feed himself. That's not his wife. That's not his precious children. He'll have to work all day long. Whatever you make, whatever your daily wage is at this time, it'll take every bit of it just to feed you that day. So, preacher, that's where we live now. Oh, no, no, no. That ain't where we're at. It's getting out of hand, but that ain't where we're at. In the tribulation, a man will have to work all day to just feed himself, not his family. Barley is cheaper than wheat. Money is going to be worthless, is what I wrote down. When this time comes and these seals start opening up, folks, I want you to know, man, this order, if you're saved, you don't have this to worry about. If you're saved, you're going to be raptured out. But what about the people that we know that's lost? This ought to put an urgency in us. This ought to put something on us and say, man, this ain't going to work. You can't go through this. You need to be out of this. You don't need to be during this. You need to be raptured out when He comes. You need to go up. You need to go up. You need to go up today. You don't need to be waiting on this. You need to know that you're saved. Because what you got's going to do you no good. You know how many people's betting on what they got to do them some good one day? I've heard people say this as a pastor. I've heard them say this many times. I'll wait till the tribulation and I'll do my chance. I've had people tell me that. And I tell them, I said, you're not going to have a chance. Yes, I will. I said, no, you won't. You've heard the gospel. You're not going to have a chance. And I'm going to get that in just a minute. And I want to teach you that tonight. Well, I'll take care of it there and then. I said, no, you won't. You're in the grace dispensation right now. You take care of it now. Or you're in trouble then, son. Whoo, glory. And here's what he said here. Did anybody catch this? Man, I'm just... Verse 6. And here's what he said. And he said, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. See that you hurt not the oil and the wine. You know why he didn't want you to hurt the oil, wanting to hurt the oil and the wine? Because food for the wealthy. Food for the wealthy. You know anybody getting rich off oil? You know anybody getting rich off wine? Do not hurt the oil. Do not hurt the wine. Food for the wealthy. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. By the way, let me go ahead and tell you, if you got money, praise God. Amen. Hey, I've never seen anybody get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that they ain't doing better than it was when they was lost. I'm just telling you. I've never seen anybody get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, and financially not doing better after they got saved than they were before they got saved. Never seen that. Because most old boys I see and old girls I see, they live the wrong lifestyle and they spent the money on the wrong things and they lived the wrong life and they didn't do what was right and they didn't want to do what God had called them to do. And I've never seen anybody in the book where you didn't tithe and give what God has asked of you and He didn't bless you back more than you could ever understand. But he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. At this time, there's going to be people that's going to have money, and they're going to use that money to get what they want from those that are less fortunate. Does that sound like anything you've ever heard? Yes. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So I see there's a famine that's going to take place. There's going to be people that's going to be hungry, and there's going to be people that are starving. Let's go on to the next one here. We've seen the seal that deceives, the first seal. The second seal is the seal that's destructive. The third seal is the seal of famine. And the fourth seal that's going to be open in verse 7 and 8 is the seal of death. And I know you can't hardly read yours. I did it little so you could get it on one page. But it's going to be the seal of death and disease. Death and disease. Look in verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked and beheld a pale horse. Have you ever seen anybody dying? Sister Megan, you shake it. You're a doctor. You see, they get pale, don't they? I'm just a minister, and I get to watch this sometimes, and I do not like it. I hate being beside the bedside of a loved one dying. But Sister Patsy, you shaking your head. You watch loved ones die. What do? They get pale. They get a pale look about them, and they start gasping. They get a pale look about them. You know death is coming. You know death is at the door, and it's knocking at the door. But I'm fixing to, man, this blow my mind. It's just knocking at the door, Brother Bradley, because it become pale. They get that pale look. He said, "I saw a pale horse, and him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him." I don't know there if death is riding the horse or hell is riding the horse. I'm just telling you. I've been digging on. I don't know. I don't know if death is on the horse and hell is just following him. But I do know this. If you're lost and you die, hell's there. I don't know if death is on the horse or hell's on the horse or both on the horse. But I do know this. If you die without Christ Jesus, hell's my eternity and hell be your eternity. But dying with Christ Jesus, you don't have that to worry about. Dying with Christ Jesus. Let me give you this. Death and hell followed with it. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, we done talked about, to kill with hunger, which is the famine, now death, and with the beast of the earth. At this time, this right here blowed my mind. At this time right here, if you ain't never listened to nothing I said, listen to this. COVID was awful. COVID was awful. About 1 million people died with COVID in the United States of America, or worldwide, over 1 million. That ain't nothing compared to this day. Listen to me. Listen to me real good right here. He said a fourth of the population. You know what the population is right now worldwide? 8.1 billion. 8.1 billion people right now worldwide. If right now he raptured the church out, I don't know how many would go out. I don't have a clue. I don't know. But if, just think about this, 8.1 billion, and if a fourth went out by this, that's 2 billion. That's your Bible. That's your Bible. Why do we witness? Why do we beg people to come to know Christ? Why do I beseech you therefore, brother? Why do we go to Broken Lives? Why do we go to women ministry? Why do we have the doors open? Why do we tithe? Why do we give? To see people come to know Christ Jesus. A fourth. Right now, 8.1 billion. Over one-fourth of the population will die. Right now, there are 8 billion people. Around 2 billion would die. By sword, by hunger, by death, by infectious disease, and a beast of the earth. Matthew 24:21, the Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning." It's going to be a tribulation. We've never seen this. "Of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." I've not got this in your notes, but let me give you a little something's going on today. I'm going to give you a little calculation of death. Children 5 years and younger, 5 years and younger, okay? And they classify that not at 60 months, 5 years, right? But they calculate that at 59 months. 59 months and younger. I just got to break this down to you. This alarms me. This alarms me at what's going on right now. 1,400 children die every day. 1,400 children die every day from the whooping cough. Huh? Yeah. Look it up. The World Summit puts this out. 1,400 children a day. Not a month, not a week, not a year. A day. If you took them children, it would take 25 school buses, is how many children die a day. 25 school buses of kids die a day with a whooping cough. 1,200 children a day. This is worldwide. This ain't United States, worldwide. But he died for who? Everybody. 1,200 children a day, 59 months and younger, die from diarrhea. I'd take 22 school buses holding 54 kids per school bus. 2,000 kids a day, 59 months and younger. Folks, we ain't seen nothing. 2,000 kids a day die from pneumonia. In the United States, we get pneumonia, we give them a little breathing treatment, try to let them go on, right? But 2,000 kids a day die from pneumonia. That's 37 school buses full of kids that die every day. How alarming is that, preacher? How alarming is that? Last year, 61 million people died in worldwide. 61 million is all that died last year. Can you imagine 2 billion during the tribulation? The health care. Your funeral, nobody is prepared for 2 billion people to die. 61 million people a year, last year, died. Man, when I got to reading this, it started probing my mind, man, my heart. When he opens his seal, 2 billion is going to die during the tribulation period. You say, I'll escape it. No. No. Let's move on here to the fifth seal. You say, preacher, you trying to scare me? Man, I don't want to scare you. No. If you're in here, you ought not be scared. If you're saved, you ought not be scared. You ought to be concerned about the loss that you win them to Christ, but you ought not be scared. You ought to say, thank you, God, that I ain't got to live through that. Thank you. Look at the fifth seal that's open in verse 9 through 11. I love preaching grace in anything but this. And this just burdens my heart to the pit. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And with white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The fifth seal is the seal is going to be opened for the martyred saints of the tribulation. The martyred saints, that's the ones that get born again during the tribulation period. That's the people that get born again during the tribulation period, that the Jewish brothers will be spreading the gospel. Said, what gospel are they going to spread? The Bible said there ain't but one gospel. Any other gospel we preach, he's a curse. There ain't but one gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what they're going to be preaching. That's what they're going to be giving out, just like we're giving now. Here's my question. I'm going to give you the answer. A man or woman has said, it's not a question. Let me just give this to you. I want to do it just as simple as you know how, and I know how. You've sat here all your life on the pew. All your life you've sat on a pew. You've heard the goodness of God. How great is our God. And you've heard it all your life. And you sit on that pew week in and week out, and the time comes and the church is raptured out. Next Sunday you come to church. People go to church next Sunday, the ones that's been left behind that didn't get raptured out. Will they be part of the saved? No. No. Why, preacher? I'd never tell you nothing I can't back with Bible. Why, preacher? Because they have lived under the grace dispensation area. They're under that area right now. His grace and His mercy, His Spirit's right here with you, drawing me, drawing our family, wanting them to come to know Christ, wanting them to come. In the time of tribulation, a man or woman gets born again, they got to lay their life down. It'll cost them their life. They'll be a martyr. They'll be martyred. It's going to cost them. Why? Because they can't take the mark of the beast. They can't be marked by another man and receive Christ Jesus too. At that moment, Think about how many daddies got kids starving to death, hungry. And all that daddy's got to do is take that mark. And his babies and his grandchildren and his wife can eat. All he's got to do is take that mark. How many daddies you know going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. You just die. No. No. Right now, you do anything you can for your kids. And I do too. Right now, you do anything you can for your grandkids. And I ain't got none, but I will too. I said, preacher, how do you know? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, here's what he says in the book. Some believe you can be saved during the tribulation period if you've heard the grace, you've heard the good news, and then you was left behind, and you can be saved. Let me show you what the book says. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I wrote it down there for you, but I did not put the verse on your paper because I wanted us to go there. 2 Thessalonians, if you have a Bible, turn with me there, please. This will do you some good right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. But before we go there, let's go to verse 1. Brother Lee ain't going to get it in, son. I'm trying my best, man. I told you it's a mouthful tonight. I love aggravating Brother Lee, but here it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1. And the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. This is the rapture. This is the resurrection. He's poured us, okay? We're going up. Look in verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. When He comes, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. They're going to perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. That they might be saved, they didn't receive it. And for this cause, because they didn't receive it now, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Because they did not receive it then, and for this cause, God, what's God going to do to them folks? He's going to turn them over to strong delusions. God Himself is going to turn them over to strong delusions that they should believe a lie and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You're not going to live here in sin and have a heyday and reject Christ Jesus now and then the tribulation time comes and fall on your knees and say, that's who I want to serve. No, no, why? Because He's going to turn them folks over to strong delusions that they will believe a lie. You say, I'm going to be, are you more powerful than God? Am I more powerful? No, and they ain't neither. They ain't neither. That's why today is the day of salvation. That's why He is still tarrying and lingering on and waiting and having mercy and patience and having all this on us and our families and our loved ones, and the kids are ready to come in. And I'll get that next one next week. That's the best I can do tonight. I'm sorry. I get overwhelmed with it and get. My wife said, you're going to shorten that down. I said, I've shortened all I can. I've cut out everything and cut out. But listen to me tonight. You've heard people say, I'll handle it later. You don't have later. You don't know if you've got tonight. I'll handle it tomorrow. You don't got tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here yet. And when that time comes, you're not going to get it right then. I've heard preachers preach, you can get saved. You ain't going to. They're going to be, and we'll get into that on down the road. There is going to be some, Brother Les, me and you don't talk, that will be saved in the tribulation period. But it won't be that one that sat on the pew all their life and rejected the goodness of God. Rejected His grace, rejected His mercy, and lived in this unrighteous world. Lived any way they wanted to and had a heyday. No, no. Now, today is the day of salvation. Father, I love You and I thank You for this night. I thank You for the Word in the book of Revelation. Oh God, I thank You for stirring our spirit tonight. Give us unction tonight to go out to a lost world and warn them that they don't want to stay here. When that time comes, they don't want to be left behind, but they want to be raptured out with the church. And the only way that can be is by the blood of Jesus. Father, we love You and we thank You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.